Hollywood, California, we present Gene Herschel in a new Dr. Christian drama called Doctor, Doctor, Come Quick. Brought to you by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly for first aid, Vaseline Hair Tonic for the care of the hair and scalp, and many other Vaseline specialties. Would you like to see the New York World's Fair or the San Francisco Exposition this summer without its costing you a penny? Well, here's a contest in which 100 first prize winners get free trips to the World's Fair, plus $150 apiece in cash, or $250 in cash instead of the trip. Just two simple rules. First, write a letter which starts this way. I want to see the New York World's Fair because... And state your reasons in 50 words or less. Or if San Francisco appeals to you more, then write your letter accordingly. Second, enclose with your letter a carton, wrapper, or a facsimile of the label from any item which carries the trademark Vaseline, such as Vaseline Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, or from any Colgate Palmolive toiletry. Then mail your entry to Vaseline Products, 17 State Street, New York City, before midnight, May 15th, when the contest closes. Write this address down. Vaseline Products, 17 State Street, New York City. Convenient entry blanks with all the rules are available at your favorite drugstore or by mail. But your answer on plain paper is perfectly acceptable. 100 first prizes, 5,000 second prizes. Think of winning a thrilling trip to the World's Fair you want most to see with all expenses paid. Write your first entry letter tonight. And now, before we get absorbed in our Dr. Christian drama, I want to ask you to wait at the end of the program for an important announcement from Mr. Gene Herschel. The curtain is rising now on tonight's play. The scene is the plaza in front of the new hospital where every man, woman, and child in River's End has gathered to listen to the dedication ceremonies. On an improvised platform between the tall white columns of the entrance sit village officials, members of the hospital board. Mr. Joseph Perino, who gave us the hospital, Judy Price, and Dr. Paul Christian, whose lifelong dream for our town is fulfilled here this day. Mayor Hewitt is standing up now. He's stepping forward now and taking his place in the center of the speaker stand, and the applause is dying down as he begins to speak.
Friends of River's End, you all know what brings us together today. We're assembled here in the plaza in front of our new hospital building to do honor to the most modest and the most useful and the most popular human being in River's End today, Dr. Paul Christian. Now, one of the things that endears Dr. Christian to all of us is that he goes about his ministrations in our community in such a matter-of-fact way. He's at everybody's beck and call, and yet he expects no praise, no thanks, and frequently he doesn't get paid for the thing he does for us in the line of his duty. So let's not embarrass him by fulsome eulogies and flowery speeches on this occasion. Rather, that we may have a fuller appreciation of him, let us review together just one day in the life of our country doctor, with full permission of all concerned. I'm thinking now of a day not so many Aprils ago, when the sun shone warmly, the robins chirped gaily, the river flowed happily along between newly green banks, and Dr. Christian awoke with the feeling that God was indeed in his high heaven, and River's End surely the most peaceful spot on earth. And then the telephone rang, shrill, menacing, urgent.
Is that you, Dr. Christian? Doctor, doctor, come quick. Janet has shot herself.
Oh, Dr. Christian, thank God you've come.
Where is she, Mrs. Harkle? Where's Janet?
Oh, Dr. Christian, I thought you'd never get here. She's in there.
What's happened, Mrs. Harkle? What did she do?
She shot herself. Right here in her side with Tommy's old rifle. Oh, Dr. Christian, don't let her die. Don't let my baby die.
Hush, I need you to help me. You have to be quiet. Pull yourself together now and come in with me.
Oh.
Well, Janet, I hear you've had an accident.
Oh, Dr. Christian, my side. It hurts.
Well, that's too bad. Turn over here a little and let me have a look at it. Maybe I can make it feel better.
Oh.
Mrs. Harker, will you lift Janet this way? So? Shall we get a dresser?
Oh, it's there. It's right there. It's the left side. Oh, Dr. Christian, say it isn't near her heart.
Sorry, Janet. It'll be a one a minute. So.
Dr. Christian, what...
Now, Mrs. Harper, if you'll just hold my case open. Right here, so that I can get at the dressings. Oh, hand me that bottle, please. Oh, don't touch these bandages. They're sterile. This is only antiseptic, Janet. There. Now, if you'll hold this in the place for me, Mrs. Harper. Just a little longer, Janet. There. It's over. Now you can relax.
But the bullet. You didn't take out any bullet.
The bullet never went in, Mrs. Harper. It's just a flesh wound. Nasty, but not serious. She'll have to keep quiet for a few days until it heals.
Not serious? Oh, you mean she isn't? Well, then it's all right. She won't die.
No, Janet won't die, Mrs. Harper.
Oh, thank God. Oh, Janet, how could you? How could you do such a thing?
I did it because you said it was all my fault. Because you stood up for Mrs. Watkins and you said that she was right to correct me in front of the whole algebra class. I'd want to go on when everybody's down on them. When even your own mother...
I wasn't down on you, dear. I always
said... You said if I was talking to boys in class and not paying attention, I deserved to have her make fun of me and say nasty things about my having my mind on something besides my work.
Is that what this is all about?
Oh, I wish the bullet had gone in. Nobody understands me. I might as well be dead.
Janet, how can you talk that way?
Mrs. Harper, will you go out to the other room now, please, and let me see Janet alone?
Oh, Dr. Christian, isn't everything all right?
Everything is all right, except that I want to have a little talk. I'll call you if you need to, Mrs. Harper.
Janet, I want to fix her.
Janet will do for the moment. Won't you please go out and... make us some strong tea, Mrs. Harper. I think we'll all need it.
Why, yes, if you really want it.
Right away, please.
Well, I... Janet, darling...
Right away. Well, Janet.
Yes, Dr. Christian.
Was it really because your teacher reprimanded you?
Yes, and because Mother said she was right.
And because of that, you wanted to end your own life?
Why, I...
You deliberately planned to finish everything?
I wouldn't want to stay in a world where everyone was so hateful.
Oh, you don't want to be dead any more than I do, Janet. You just wanted to make a gesture. The strongest, most dramatic gesture you could think of. So that everybody would realize how badly you felt and how much they had hurt you. Wasn't that it, Janet?
No.
You never even stopped to think of the effect such a thing would have on other people, did you? How much suffering this would cause your mother?
Don't! I guess I was just sort of crazy over being called down that way in front of everybody. And when Mom didn't understand, I felt I had to do something terrible. And I saw Tommy's gun standing there in the corner. And so I grabbed it and pulled the trigger.
Janet, do you want to promise me such a thing will never happen again?
Why? Why?
You couldn't be such a little fool as to ever think of repeating this, could you? Could you?
No, I guess I couldn't.
Is that a promise?
Yes. Yes, Dr. Christian, that's a promise.
Good. I guess I better answer the phone. The next time people don't understand, Janet, you come and talk to me about it. Hello? Hello? Yes, Judy. Mrs. Cochran? Well, did she say what... Well, I'll go as soon as I can. You think it's urgent? You're not serious. Oh, but I don't understand. Yes, 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 Janet, it's all right. Well, if you think it's so important, I'll go right over to the Cochran's from here. You didn't suspect anything until you found your husband's note, Mrs. Cochran?
Suspect? Oh, yes, I suppose I did. I suppose down deep a woman always knows when her husband is being unfaithful to her. But I wouldn't admit it even to myself. John Summers has been his secretary for 3 years, and I've never... I've always been so contemptuous of jealous wives.
I know.
She is pretty... But she was always so quiet and modest and... Well, I never interfered in Dave's business affairs.
And he'd always gone, but his plans are.
No. All I know is that he's gone away and taken Joan Summers with him. Oh, Dr. Christian, you must be crazy. I can't believe that he really loves her. But if he does, why didn't he tell me? Why didn't he do this with some dignity? Not just run off that way.
Well, men do curious things when they are in an emotional muddle, Mrs. Cochran. And the more intelligent they are, the sillier they seem to become.
Yes. I don't know what to do.
Mrs. Cochran, has Dave been himself lately? Has he seemed well, normal?
Oh, no, no. He's acted terribly worried. He said things were bad at the bank, but I guess that was only an excuse. It was really this.
If I could only see him, only talk to him.
Oh, yes, maybe he could listen to you. Dr. Christian, this will ruin him. He's had such a brilliant career, the youngest bank president in the state. Why did he do it? If he'd only come to me honestly, we could have worked it out some way. I can't understand how he could do such a terrible thing.
There. Don't cry, Mrs. Cochran.
Oh.
Shall I answer that for you? You probably don't feel like talking just now.
Oh, would you?
Of course.
Thank you.
Hello? Yes? Yes, Judy. What? Spike Morse? A mad dog? Or who says it's mad? Well, did they catch the dog? He did bite him several times. I'll have them watch the dog carefully. You'll have to keep it under observation. Keep Spike there in the office. I'll come right over. Yes, right away. Goodbye. I'm sorry I have to run away, but the stray dog just bit Spike Morse, Judy's little nephew.
Oh.
And they think the animal is mad. I've got to cauterize the wounds at once.
Oh, a mad dog. Oh, how terrible. Now, don't bother about me, Dr. Christian. Go to Spike right away. Hurry, you've got to save that boy.
Thank you, Judy. Well, he's coming out from under the anesthetic.
Is he in pain?
No. The worst of it is over. But cauterizing those wounds was absolutely necessary, and I couldn't see doing it without an anesthetic.
Is it all done?
Yes, all done, Spike.
It hurts.
You'll feel better pretty soon.
I'm dizzy.
I know, but that'll pass too. What made the dog bite you, Spike? Did you tease him?
Yes, I guess I did. I didn't mean to make him cough, but all of a sudden he began to snarl and run around in circles, and then he barked.
But what were you doing to him?
Oh, we were just taking his bone away and throwing it and making him run for it.
Taking his bone away? Well, don't you know you should never interfere with a dog when he's eating?
What if he was just chewing a bone? I don't think I like dogs anymore. Dr. Christian, this dog wasn't mad, was he?
No, Spike,
you have been mad at anyone who took your dinner away like that?
But I mean, really. Dr. Christian, I'm scared.
Spike, listen. Maybe this is a lesson to teach you never to tease a dog when he's eating. You know, probably you're going to have just a row of little scars on your leg to remind you.
I'm never going to touch another dog.
Oh, now, that would be foolish. Spike, do you know how many different kinds of dogs there are? Turn over here. I want to show you something.
Still feel sort of dizzy.
Well, I'm going to give you this to take home. You can look at it when you feel better and learn everything there is to know about dogs.
What is it?
It's a book. It tells you all about dogs and how to take care of them. What you should and should not do to them. And how to teach them some good tricks.
Dang. Gee, it's got swell pictures.
You can take those things away now, Judy.
All right, Dr. Christian.
I'll get it in here, Doctor. Dr. Christian's office.
Hello? It's Judy Price. Yes. Well, he's busy with a patient now, Mrs. Summers. Yes? Of course you can trust me. What? Oh, but the blue flyer doesn't stop until it gets to Chicago. 11:15, I think. He'd never catch up with it. Oh, but it's impossible. Well, I'll ask him.
Oh, don't cry so, Mrs. Summers. We'll try to do something. You wait just a minute.
Dr. Christian, will you come in here for just a moment, please? It's important.
What is it, Judy?
Close the door, please. Mrs. Summers, Joan's mother on the phone. Poor soul, she's in hysterics. Dr. Christian, she says Joan and David Cochran are on the Blue Flyer. They took it at Center City.
Well, then no one can stop them now.
But she thinks they can. She says Mary Hewitt got suspicious and they've sent for the bank examiner. They think there may be a shortage at the bank.
Why, that can't be. Why, David Cochran is no crook. The man's gone crazy.
Can't you see? If someone doesn't make him come back, if he has taken the money...
It's incredible.
Dr. Christian, Mrs. Summers wants someone to go to Chicago, catch them there before the police are notified, and bring them back here. Then maybe the mess can be straightened out.
Yeah, but how can they?
A crosscut over the mountains. Oh, it'll be terrible driving, I know, but it might be done.
It's impossible. Why, after dark...
There's only one person who could do it. You could drive that road blindfold. And think what it means if you bring him back. Oh, Dr. Christian, you've got to try. For the sake of River's End, you've got to try.
What time is it now?
9:45.
Well, we're holding our own. It's getting through Chicago that I'm worried about. Traffic and all.
Don't think, just drive.
Did he say what made him suspect the shortage?
No, he said he didn't want to talk to anyone about it just yet. He said he'd call you in the morning.
It's bound to get out.
As far as we know, though, only Mrs. Cochran and Joan's mother know.
Let's hope they don't talk.
That's to their advantage not to. And women can keep secrets, Dr. Christian. Look how sporting Mrs. Cochran's been, keeping it to herself all this time that Dave was...
Judy, I still can't believe Dave Cochran is a crook. But has it occurred to you that he might be faking this elopement to cover up the theft?
Oh, no. Oh, that pretty little Joan Summers, I can't imagine her being mixed up in this either. She's so prissy. Sweet 25 and never been kissed, Jerry calls it.
Yeah, those are the worst kind sometimes. What else did Mrs. Summer have to say about the bank trouble?
Oh, she was so emotional, I gave up trying to find out. Did nothing all day but talk to weeping women on the telephone. Sort of got me down toward the last.
Poor Judy.
Oh, I'm all right. They're the ones to be sorry for.
Anyway, there was nothing about it in the last news broadcast.
No. I'll tune in again at 10:30.
It's the gossip that I'm most afraid of. Word of mouth news that spreads through a town.
Yes.
Start a run in a bank.
Ooh, that would be bad, wouldn't it?
Yes. You can wreck a bank. Wreck a town, too.
Isn't it funny the way everything everyone does in a small place like River's End is tied up with the welfare of the whole town? You can't just figure that what you do concerns you. You're interlaced.
Oh, small town's almost like a family. It has the same problems and lots of the same blessings.
Well, you're certainly the head of the River's End family. Honestly, when I think of the things you've done...
Well, I think what I'm going to do this time, Judy, because the head of the family is in a bad spot.
Why? What do you mean, Dr. Christian?
Well, you figure it out. I've got one chance in a million of getting to the station ahead of the Blue Flyer. But even if I do, how can I stop those people? Judy, what on earth am I going to say?
An outrage, Dr. Christian, an outrage. How dare you interfere with my affairs and inspection?
I'm sorry, Dave. Will both of you please get into my car? It's here just outside the entrance. Judy Price, my secretary, is in it waiting for us.
But why should I? I don't understand you, Dr. Christian.
Well, if I must speak plainly, you and Miss Summers left Rover's End together after you had written a note to your wife explaining that you were eloping. You didn't expect Mrs. Cochran to find the note until tomorrow, but the... She came back from her mother's ahead of time, and she read it. She would have tried to persuade you to come back anyhow and work this out in some sort of an intelligent way, but when we discovered about the shortage at the bank...
The what?
The shortage at the bank. We decided to...
I don't know what you're talking about. What shortage?
My car is right here. Get in.
But I tell you...
Judy, you stay in the front seat where you can listen to the radio.
All right.
We'll have another news bulletin before long. Miss Thomas, you and Mr. Cochran get into the back seat.
I'll do no such thing. I
think you will, Mr. Cochran.
And how do you expect to make me?
If you don't, I'll be forced to call the police.
The police? What for?
You wouldn't like that, Dave Cochran. Neither would I. But you're by your own statement leaving your home and your wife. And there's a large sum of money missing from the bank of which you're president. You won't return with me. There's nothing I can do but call the police.
But I don't know anything about the money.
We just wanted to get away. It's our own affair, Dr. Christian. If we want to do it this way, I don't see why.
Do you really think you can find happiness this way, Joan? A fugitive, an outcast, cut off from your mother and your friends?
I love Dave, Dr. Christian.
And so you'll let him ruin himself, lose his position, and his friends, and his place in the world, just for you.
It's too late to talk about it now, Dr. Christian. We've got to go. Come, Joan.
Dave Cochran, I've got to take you home back with me if I have to get a police escort to do it. The bank examiner is going over your accounts.
The examiner? But the accounts are all right.
A shortage has been discovered. Don't you realize this means ruin?
I don't know what to do.
Do? What can you do but go back? Prove your innocence, if you are innocent. Your life's been shot with success, Dave. You don't realize what it would mean to face dishonor and distrust and the scorn of everyone who knows you.
Oh.
You might as well think about this, too.
Don't listen to him, Joan. It isn't true.
But it is true. I've let you wreck your life. Oh, we've got to go back.
It's too late now. We can't go back.
Dr. Christian, Dr. Christian.
Yes.
Got another news broadcast.
Turn it up. But what is all this time? They may have some news from the bank.
With the announcement of the confession of Elmer Clark, cashier of the bank, to having embezzled more than $50,000 from the Rivers End Bank during the past 3 years. The president of the bank, David Cochran, is in Chicago on a business trip, and efforts to reach him have thus far failed.
Dave, did you hear that?
Elmer Clark? I can't believe it. Now, Dr. Christian, I've got to go back right away. Oh, no, I can't do that.
Yes, you can, Dave. You must.
But what about us?
Oh, we don't matter. We must have been crazy to think we did. That we could do a thing like this.
Oh, but, Joan, we can't go back. Everybody will know.
Nobody will know.
Lillian...
She wants you to come back. Come back and settle this thing openly and honestly. Will you do it that way?
Yes. We'll do it that way. Won't we, Dave?
If that's what you want, that's what we'll do, Joan.
We'll drive back together. I'll make all the explanations. When you were on a business trip and met in Chicago, and you decided to drive back with us.
What's the matter, Dr. Christian?
Oh, I just realized I'm a little tired. I think I'll let Dave drive. And I'll relax in the back seat of the car, try to snatch some sleep. I've got a date to take little Johnny Hill's tonsils out at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
And so, in recognition of all our beloved Dr. Paul Christian has done for the folks of Rivers End, and as the crowning achievement of a life of service, we dedicate this beautiful modern hospital building to a good man and his good works. Jim Herschel, star of these Dr. Christian programs, has an announcement of special interest to make to you tonight. So don't turn your dials. He'll be out here in just a moment. Meanwhile, a word about our products. Marceline jelly is the handiest thing in the house for chapped hands, minor burns, cuts, and scrapes. Why? Because it does three important things for injured or irritated skin. One, it forms a protective film against outside infection when the skin is broken. Two, it promotes quick healing. And three, it softens and lubricates the skin by supplementing the natural oil. And here's a tip for men and women who are troubled with dry scalp and loose dandruff. Try Vaseline Hair Tonic. This different hair tonic contains no harsh ingredients which tend to dry the scalp. Instead, Vaseline Hair Tonic actually supplements the natural scalp oils. Massage your scalp thoroughly with Vaseline Hair Tonic before your next every day to keep your hair handsome and healthy. When you buy Vaseline Hair Tonic or Vaseline Jelly or any other product bearing the trademark Vaseline, save the carton and close it with your letter of 50 words or less telling why you want to see the World's Fair. It may start you on your way to a free trip to New York or to San Francisco. Remember to mail your entry before May 15th when the contest closes to Vaseline Products, 17 State Street, New York City. The artists you heard in tonight's Dr. Christian drama were talented Rosemary DeCamp in the role of Judy Price, Gloria Holden in the role of Lillian Cochran, Gerald Moore as Mayor Hewitt, Myra Marsh as Mrs. Harker, Betty Jean Haney as Janet Harker, Eric Burtis as Spike Morse, Frank Martin as David Cochran, Dorothy Lovett as Joan Summers, David Kerman as the radio announcer, and Jean Hersholt, our star, in the role of Dr. Christian.
Thank you. I'm going to accept your applause tonight for Dr. Christian. And then I'm going to step out of character to say a few words to you as plain Jean Hersholt. Because I have some real news for all of you who have come to love the wise and kindly country doctor whom we try to portray for you each Tuesday night. My news is both good and bad. The bad part is that this is the last Dr. Christian program for this season. The good part is that next fall you are going to meet Dr. Christian again. Not only on the radio, but on the silver screen as well. Some of you have written to me asking to see Dr. Christian in the movies. Well, you're going to see him and Rivers End and various of the other folks who make our town an interesting place in which to live. I want to thank you all for your interest in some interesting place in which to live. I want to thank you all for your interest and support which makes it possible for the makers of Vaseline products to bring you these programs. I want to invite you all also to write to me and tell me which of the stories you heard this year you like best. Your letters will help us to bring to you the kind of radio and screen entertainment you want. So please don't be shy. Sit down and write me this week. I'll guarantee you that I'll read every one of your letters myself if it takes all summer. And I'll enjoy doing it too. You can address me in care of this station. Now I have just one more word I'd like to say. This is something very, very personal. And yet I feel that I want you all to share it with me. Exactly 25 years ago today, Mrs. Hersholt and I were married here in California, and so this is our silver anniversary. And may I just take a moment to say thank you with all my heart to that wonderful girl who has given me those 25 years of her life. Wonderfully happy years of companionship and understanding. And to all the radio friends, wherever you are, won't you in your homes join with my wife and me and ours with a toast to happiness and peace for everyone. Thank you, and good night.
On behalf of the makers of Vaseline Corporation, we say goodbye to our radio friends for the season. We'll be back with you next fall. We don't know the exact date yet, but we'll be glad to advise you if you're right. And you're going to see Jean Hersholt as Dr. Christian in the movies, as well as hear him on the radio. To help us bring you the kind of radio and screen entertainment you want, Jean Hersholt invites you to write to him and tell him which of this year's stories you have liked best. Address your letters to Jean Hersholt in care of this station. Until next fall, then, the makers of Vaseline Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other Vaseline specialties say, we'll be seeing you. Arthur Gilmore speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.